We're on. Okay, Father, may you direct in the time we spend now in your word. We're grateful for the privilege in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we've gone through and we've worked our way up to this point where we have the chart. You have, it has just the generalities. There's this survey chart that I handed out before. We looked at it last week. There are 7 dispensations. They're broken out. And I have charts on everything except law and grace. And so they're around here somewhere. But, we'll see if we're able to do this. This is a revision of the one I handed out now. This one I had to revise, and then I found out I had it somewhere else. I didn't do too bad at coming close to the same. That's innocence, conscience, will be a chart of this sort. It's always fun. I have this great Nephilim here and a few other interesting things with it. There's my human government chart. And with human government, you can't see it very well from there, but when I get it, I always have people laughing. Here's my Nimrod. You know, a caveman with his club. And then Nimrod becomes a king. And so that chart, they're all designed so they cover all of the material in a very brief way on that. So that's, file. Okay, there's promise. And I might disarm Abram now that I have figured out how to disarm him. You can't see him, but he has a scimitar. And so I finally figured out how to take it apart and do that. So, but these are all, you can see the boxes, their lists, and their lists like are in here. And so it's just, we'll give you a hand in however it works, and you'll get them either in color, you'll get them in black and white. And I should be able to run them. If I run them in black and white, I'll run them all on white paper. Just because I don't have much left of the color paper. And somebody gave me a case of 8.5 by 14 white paper so we can use it. But anyway, it gives you some idea. You'll be getting these as we follow them. And it doesn't hurt to have it out if I have it up and ready for you. So it just gives you, if they're here, you can get a tie and they'll be useful. That's the only reason I did it was so it would summarize on that. So that's the goal. And I don't know, I thought maybe I'd have a shot at getting one more done. And my time has just climbed on my back, so I don't think I'm going to get it done. I've had people for years trying to get me to do this, let me finish them up. Because what I was doing in California with the dispensational conference in Yuba City, every couple years I do another dispensation. And so then I do a chart. Everybody likes charts. And so, and it's really helpful in that. And so you can see what I was thinking about would be if I could get frames the way I'd like them and frame them, it would be a good thing probably to have I was trying to think of where I could hang them at church just so that people could see. If they wanted to stop and think about it and it'd be nice to have ready references all. Okay, we are in innocence. That's on page 9 of your notes. And as we come to the dispensation, you're going to find, and the chart does this too. Now, what did I do with my chart? I pulled it up. Now I can't find it. Okay, that was pretty bright. I have one. I have extra of those. It was just I couldn't find it because it was folded on it. But when you look at that chart as it is, with each of these, and I didn't box some of it. I didn't put any shaded boxes or anything on these, and I do that in some of the others. And these lists, the steward's responsibilities, the test of the dispensation, the responsibilities for the household in the dispensation, the judgment for failure in the dispensation. And in this I have condition of Adam and Eve, I have the constitution of Adam and Eve in the dispensation, and the rest of it kind of, you can see a flow. On this I don't have a timeline, because we don't know how long it was. And I like to put time, I mean, it's not time, remember, the dispensation is not time. It fits in time, but it isn't time. And so we have dates as far as Adam's date of creation and death, but how long, when did it all go down? Where in his life? And you can kind of work it back, you can come close, and so I do have some estimate times, but in some of my stuff, but anyway, you can kind of get a sense by looking at this just to how the thing flows. I said I'm going to forget this, so I better do this. You didn't? Did you have one with Caleb? Did you?
Oh no, I didn't.
Okay.
Outside of the mind.
Yeah. I mean, my problem is it'll get outside and it's out of my mind, and then, and I don't have enough of some of the other charts from back. You can see when I did that.
94.
Yeah. So I did that a couple of years ago on that, and so from this point I've done scattered. So this will give you some sense. Now I need to point a couple things out here, and that is when I have Adam and in his, you know, this rays of light kind of thing around him there, and the one I have here with color, there's a little, see, I have a yellow on these. And that is the garment of light. And so as we go along, see, I have to point this out because you might not figure this out. But they have a garment of light. In the fall, what do we have? We have a crash. They lose a garment of light. And you see, I splattered them on the ground for you. So you see on that end?
Yeah.
And that, and this one, I mean, you have just a little color in these here. But you see, that is why those things are that way. And when you see that, I mean, that dispensation ended absolute failure. They lost the garment of light. When we get down to the end of it, the word that is going to be used of the loss of that grand garment of light, it said, you know, they realized they were naked, is the way the King James translates. That word naked means they've been stripped. So they were stripped of something they had. And that's the concept. And so I trust that will help give you some sense. I think the rest of it's pretty easy to figure out. I had to come up with two different kinds of trees. On it, you notice I have no apples on this.
I can't see the fruit. Where's the fruit on this one?
Oh, this is one of those. It's green fruit.
Mm.
When I originally did this.
Separate.
You know what? Mine's a green tree. Yeah. Okay. And I originally said it was a pickle tree. And, you know, people looked at me and I just, sober as could be, it's a pickle tree. And I kept emphasizing it through all my messages. This was a pickle tree. And I would tell them, I'd say, well, the reason I call it a pickle tree is, we don't know what it is, but it might as well be a pickle tree because it's not an apple tree. And so in the last meeting, what happens? They made this presentation, and somebody brought me a pickle tree. And I couldn't bring it home. It was too big to go on the airplane. And what they had done, they got some manzanita and put it in a plaster of Paris anchor, and somebody went out and found a bunch of pickles, you know, plastic pickles, and they presented it. It was downright hilarious, but it made the point. You know, it wasn't an apple tree. We have no idea what it was. So, okay. So, the chart will help, and I'll try to kind of guide you with it while we're going through this material. The dispensation of innocence begins in Genesis 1:27, what happened in Genesis 1:27 to make it happen. I mean, make this the beginning of the dispensation.
How do you know it wasn't an apple tree? For sure.
For sure? Well, it's tradition. Anything that's tradition is
it's wrong.
It's probably wrong.
Okay, I was just curious. I thought maybe something in Scripture said it was a tree, but not an apple tree in the Hebrew.
The funny part is, it might have been a pomegranate tree.
More likely in that area.
Yeah, I mean, because of the location. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, what kinds of trees there were. What's funny is that pomegranates have carried. And they, you know, you find them in, you have pomegranates in the temple. You have pomegranates represented in the tabernacle. You have pomegranates in Song of Solomon. So, I mean, those, who was I teaching? I was teaching a class in one of those. And somebody was here that had never seen a pomegranate. You know what pomegranates are. Mm-hmm. You're from Florida.
I like pomegranate juice.
It's a long time to squeeze those little things.
That's why you buy Ocean Spray.
Yeah. So I say, I mean, it's the tradition. I just, it's fun to really get it. But it, you know, it, we have absolutely no idea. So it's, I just, it's fun. Good question. Okay, why do we go, why do we start at 127? Let me read it and you'll see. So God created Adam in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And as that initial account, now he's got years in between, but the word create. When God created man, that began, and you can see it in verse 28, he's given a responsibility, they're given a responsibility. And so with the creation of man, it starts the dispensation. It's rather interesting because with that creation, God ends up with, I mean, he creates the beasts before he created Adam. And so he's given a stewardship, and part of that stewardship involves beasts on it, so... because he goes ahead and talks about it. I ordered some books that now I'm in big trouble. I should never order books. I gamble and sometimes it pays off. And this one did, because I ended up ordering a couple books while I'm waiting for everybody tonight. And they're two translations of Maimonides' book on, it's called Guide to the Perplexed. And Maimonides was a 10th century Jewish rabbi. He's known as Rambam. And they do that. Yeah, Rashi and Radek, you know, these are all, they shorten the names of these monster Hebrew names. And he did this book, and the reason I was reading, I got a deal on a book about him, and I'm interested in him right now, because this summer early I read a book on the Karaite synagogue in Cairo, where they found all these manuscripts. And they found Tigrafa. They had actual letters from Maimonides in his handwriting. And he was a renowned, I mean, it was, that was almost more valuable than some of the scriptures I found in that. And so I got to read a lot of him, I mean, some things about him and these other things I've been reading. And so I saw a deal on a Maimonides book, and of course I went on there and messed around and found I could get two different books on him. And I found out this book, The Guide to the Perplexed, is his book as a Jewish rabbi on hermeneutics and word studies. And it's to help the perplexed try to figure it out. Of course, he's talking about levels of meaning. But I thought, you know, this is going to be kind of interesting because I hadn't done that. And so now I've got another little game on the side that I want to play. in that matter. There's a picture of his head, of a statue of him. It is kind of interesting. This guy in this book, talked about devout Jews who go to, where do they go? I can't remember where they go now. Where the statue is. And especially their Jewish doctors, they have their pictures taken with the statue. Because he is the renowned Jewish physician, as well as being a rabbi. And he wrote several medical textbooks. So, anyway, that's nothing to do with his.
That's what happens when we're late. We should think of belating in, folks.
Yeah.
He spends money he can't afford to spend.
It's our fault.
It's our fault.
Yeah, well.
It's a credit.
Hmm?
You're still using your credit, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a bad conscience when I do that.
No.
On it, so. I have a gift account at Amazon. Mm-hmm. So, and then I also have Prime, which means I get all the shipping for free. Mm. So, I wheel and deal. Mm. But this book, I couldn't have gotten this book from Amazon because this was so much lower than their book price that what I saved on just buying the book would have been made up for the shipping I had to pay. So anyway. Okay. So, with the creation of Adam, and when I put the verses down, I put the first account in 127, and then in 215 through 17, it says, the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And you see, you have the creation of Adam, and then it says he took Adam, and when you see man, and I'm on the notes, the regular notes, and on A1, and I'm not pointing it out there because I'm just, these are things that, well, I have those. I do have things down on this chart underneath the Adam. Only in my notes, I didn't put the, in this particular place, I didn't put 5 through 7. Do 5.
This one is.
Yeah, that one does, but these don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so what do you, I mean, here he didn't have anybody to take care of the ground. And so you can see there is, he forms a man from the dust of the ground, verse 7. And he, puact, he breathed, I love that, just that Hebrew word, puact sounds like a great breathe word. He puact, it just breathed in him the breath, or breathed into his nostrils, into his noses, and man came to be a living creature or a living soul. And so here you have him, and then he gives him the responsibility in verse 15. Now, how do I know it's a responsibility? When he says, the Lord God took Adam. Now, I'm reading these things as Adam because I'm reading, I know what it says in Hebrew. When it says Ha-Adam, it's usually, normally in Genesis early, refers to Adam. It's the man. Ha is the Adam. If he just says Adam, it's translated mankind normally in this early part. Later we'll have Ha-Adam and it's mankind if it's not directly referring to Adam. And so he says he put him in, and then you see when it says into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now what you have are two infinitives. You see the to keep and to dress? Those are infinitives. That's the purpose of his being put there. I believe they're cleanly purpose infinitives. And it's interesting the words that are used here because the first word that's translated dress is translated in other places to till or to serve. And I was just looking at my little note of add to work. Then the next one, keep, is our normal keep word. You know, you saw it in Genesis, Exodus 19:8 and other places. So this is a purpose. He's got a job. The animals weren't going to do this. It wasn't work, like we think of work, because the ground wasn't cursed. He was probably talked to when he did what he was supposed to. Because remember, in the curse, when he falls, was the ground is cursed.
The sweat of his brow.
Now he's going to have to help irrigate it with the sweat of his brow. And that, and so that was a part of the problem there. But it seemed like it was a very easy thing to do, to dress or to till or to work it and to keep it. And so there's a responsibility given to Adam, to Adam. And he commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. Eating you may eat." Now, when I say eating, you may eat. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, notice the next verse. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that you eat thereof, dying you will die." You will absolutely die. In other words, he will die in every way that he can die. Just because you have that infinitive there doesn't mean that it's two deaths. It just means you will die in every way you can, which happens to be two. And so you have spiritual death, which takes place just like that, at that point in time when you eat the tree, and then you begin to die physically, and you will die. And you go over to chapter 5, and you find out that that kind of happened, didn't it? And he says he died. And so that's the way this works. So after the creation of Adam, and it's before the creation of Eve, she's created in 2:18, and is this part of it. "And the Lord God said, it is not good for Adam that Adam should be alone. I will make for him an helpmeet." When I say for him, it's at the end too. And what it is a help that is a face-to-face image before him. And they're mirror images. Do we say men and women are opposites? In a way, yes. They're mirror images. They're a reflection of one another. When we understand each other in these that way, it helps a great deal. And I don't know if you, it's obscured but a few. And that is in the beginning of the In Christ book. I have a little Hebrew in there. And I put it in there, and I had to, I did it intentionally, of course. I dedicated that to Pat. And with it, I changed the Hebrew. And I said, "I help before my face." You know, I've made it personal, and not a lot of people would understand what I did with it. And she waited for a long time to figure out what I was going to put in that. And then I put it in Hebrew. And so I explained it to her. I mean, it was short, to the point, and went through it with her. And it became almost our secret, in a way, because of why I did it and how it worked. And so, it obviously came out of here. And when you see that, it's a counterpart. It's Izar, Kanavadu Do. And what I did in mine, I put that same structure, except in the end, I didn't put the wow on the end, I put in here it goes, which is my and related to me. So it's just a little change in the vowel pointing that made it do what I wanted it to do. And so this counterpoint, this help, like in front of me or like before me, this mirror image kind of help, this complementary help. And so when this happens, so you see, this responsibility came back in verse 15. That's before she's on the scene. He has had a little bit of time working his Latin over so he could name all of those animals. But he never found one that was like him. And so, there, you know, that part was part of his responsibility. And you've got to remember, I always throw a nickels with a humor in. I caught him last night a couple times. Some of them didn't even know what I did to him. But that's okay. But some of them caught some of it. But anyway, what happens? He names the animals. He's put to sleep. He loses a rib. And Adam, when he loses a rib, had one less rib than all of his progeny. And I remember when I was in San Francisco, there was a student. He wasn't in my class. He was determined to say that men had one less rib than women. And he made an upheaval in Dr. Schaefer's class. He was causing, I mean, there is, you know, every male has one less rib. So Mrs. Schaefer was working in the hospital, and so she went and got an x-ray, a couple of x-rays. And, you know, well, the old x-ray sheets are big. And Dr. Schaefer brought him to seminary and walked into class. And, you know, the tag that's on the x-ray said male and the other one said female. And he had the guy come and count the ribs. So you had to show him. And the guy wasn't even from Missouri. And so that was the story. Steward of the dispensation is Adam because he was given responsibility. He had a lot of responsibility related to the animals, but it was not a hard responsibility. He put one man over earth after the fall to do what Adam had to do. Adam couldn't do it. In fact, it's really interesting. This thing is serving the ground or tilling the ground. All he could do was barely have enough to keep his family fed. It wasn't that easy. And so, I mean, it was an effort to take care of it after the fall. And so when we understand it, and who does he dispense to? Well, Eve is the other human being. And that's it. If there had been no fall, how many years would it have taken for them to start having offspring? They wouldn't have had the limitations concerning having offspring. So we do know something about it, and that is, had they not fallen, Eve would have had absolutely no problem in producing kids. I mean, how long would gestation be with Eve? You know, we're used to the 9-month thing, and that's just torture women. I mean, that's a whole game plan, I think, isn't it? You know, the last couple months, I've heard the issues about that recently with my daughter-in-law. The sore back, the whole thing. And how eager she was when Kenyon showed up. Because there, it was very uncomfortable for a period of time. And then, of course, with the morning sickness stuff, if it hadn't been a fall, you know, it could have been 2 weeks. And no problem. No pain. Pop. Goes the weasel. And you have an offspring.
Does it say that somewhere?
Yeah, it's in there. The Hebrew text of Proverbs.
Oh, that's what it says.
But I mean, you can see because of the curse. I mean, because of the fall, she now has problems with childbearing and issues with it. And it's really interesting historically how many women have died from childbirth. And I was reading last night about Henry VIII and his wives. And he had this tendency to lose wives. What do you have, six of them?
Only three of them were beheaded.
No, just two.
Just two.
Two were beheaded.
Divorced one.
And he ended up divorcing two.
Yeah.
And the other two died in childbirth. Now, wait a minute. The seven, the last one lived.
The last one survived him.
Yeah, she lived.
She took care of him while he was crooked off.
Yeah, yeah.
She was honorary.
But it was, in reading that, I hadn't remembered that two of them had died in, as a result of bearing kids. One of them was 2 weeks later. And it was all the results of all of the trauma that went with that. You can see, God didn't need, if they didn't fall, there was no need to speed things up, and that's what it says. It was then became necessary so that before the lady died, or before the man died, that they had some offspring. I think that Eve, after the fall, became pretty much a real fertile myrtle in that matter. We have all kinds of questions. I have to tell a quick story. When I was in high school, Union Gospel Mission, we were there, have a meeting every month. I had to drive 45 miles to go at the time. And, of course, in those days, church people usually went dressed up. The people that came to the mission didn't care, but we always did. And so here I'm in high school, and I had a jacket and a tie and slacks, I was the only guy that went. And there were always a couple gals from the youth group, I think, and then a couple ladies from the church that went. And so anyway, my dad preaches, and of course they're captive audience because they're waiting to go eat. And he gets an invitation and invites him to come forward to go to the prayer room. And lo and behold, here are two guys get up and come forward. If they want to come forward, Dad gave a salvation invitation. I'm sitting there. He looks at me. There's no question. I was the only one that he would look at in that place. And he looks at me. He moves his eyes like, the prayer room's over there. And, I'm just a kid. Both of these guys that went in there were a lot older than I was. And finally he said, and so here I am, what am I to do? He did a couple things like that in my history. So here I'm going in with, and so I'm thinking through my understanding of the plan of salvation that I was going to make it clear and all of this. And I walked in, and this guy's there kneeling at this bench. And I walk up and kneel beside him and ask him if he wants to be saved. And he says, no, I came in here to ask you a question. And I thought, oh, no. And the question was, who was Seth's wife? And I thought, that was just a big, pin in my balloon. I didn't know, what am I going to say? He wanted to know who said it. I thought, this guy probably does this every other night just to get somebody going. So I told him it had to be his sister as far as I knew. And it was kind of interesting. Well, it takes us right back here. Because Cain kills Abel, and so Abel evidently didn't have a wife or kids yet. And so Cain ends up with a wife and kids who also had to be a sister. And Seth, who's of the righteous line, had to be married to a sister. And it was not a problem then, because the fall hadn't messed up the gene pool as much. And so it was no problem to marry that close. And so genetically it was not a big deal at that time. So the fall brings it. So Eve, and had there been kids before they eat of the fruit, there would have been more of a family in the household, a bigger household in the dispensation. And so since they didn't do that, then there was just Eve and Adam. And it's interesting, the description. He uses a word that's translated rule of Adam's role in relationship to Eve. It's not the word malak, which means to be a king over. It's the word mashal. And it has the idea of simply taking a position of authority. And a king can do that or others. So it's not as strong a word as we have for king. So, you know, the traditional bring the newspaper and shoes kind of thing wasn't any part of that. On that, you know, that was really almost an insult, because the comic strips picked up on it, and the dog would do that, bring the shoes in the newspaper. And I think there was some definite determined irony in that, because that was early. Okay, so what happens? In 2:17, here they are, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat it, or else you're absolutely going to die, and every way you're going to die. In verse 25, it says, and they were both stripped, or naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not clothed with any kind of physical garments. This nakedness was a nakedness of, I mean, if you'd have looked, they were, you know, it wasn't the king that didn't have a, you know, what was it? What's the name of that book? The king has no.
The emperor's new clothes.
The emperor's new clothes. There we go. Yeah. And finally, the kid gives it away. But in this case, it wasn't that, I mean, the issue was, they were in a garment of light. It wasn't a physical thing. And so they didn't feel ashamed of their bodies or anything else at that time, because they were clothed in the garment of light. And that's the image of God. They lose it. And we will see that in chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, for God doth know that in the day, and Satan says this, that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you will be as gods. Let's translate it. You will be as Elohim. You're going to be like God. The gods thing is a bad translation. Knowing good and evil. Satan had no idea what he was setting up, because God obviously knew the difference between good and evil. That which was lacking in character, and that which would make people happy. They didn't need that. And what happens when they fall? The next dispensation involves conscience. And that involves good and evil and how you behave. And we'll see that as we work our way into that. And so that's the idea. They're untried. Let's go to 3:22, and then we'll say a couple things more about it. In 3:22 it says, and the Lord God said, behold, Adam, or just a minute, I gotta look at my Hebrew. Adam has become as one of us. I always like the was, us, a plural. And as I believe it, it's not a plural majesty, but it is in Trinity. But I mean, it makes perfect sense in the Jews, because of their view of Deuteronomy 6:4, will fight with you all the way through early Genesis. One of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat, and live forever, and then he's kicked out of the garden. And so man was, he was neither righteous or holy. He was not free necessarily. He was not tested. That's the whole story here. He was not tested. He was amoral. He was not immoral, nor was he moral. There was no basis for morality, because he had no concept of good and evil. And so he hadn't been tried. And so when we say innocence, we're talking about being an untried person. And when he was tried, what happened? And if Eve hadn't done it, and the serpent had done it to him, it wouldn't have happened. Really? I don't think it would have. because when Satan did that, I think he understood enough that Adam was so appreciative to have found someone that was like him. And he didn't have the kind of faith that he would have needed to say, I'm not going to eat if you've eaten. Whatever this thing of dying is, you can die, but I'm going to obey God. And he didn't do that. And so remember in 1 Timothy, Eve trespassed, but Adam sinned. And he sinned, and as a result, you have this issue. So when he is tried, he fails. He is in an absolutely 100% perfect environment. And everything is provided. I mean, if you want a snack, all you have to do is turn around and pick it off a tree. Or pick it out from wherever. It's all right there. And it's all the needs are met completely. And you can see that in several passages here. Look at 9 of chapter 2. And out of the ground made Jehovah Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Good for food. And then he goes on, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you read this, it seems like most of what they eat is going to be off of trees. A vegetarian diet, they didn't kill anything, they didn't need to. All the nutrition they needed was from that. It's kind of interesting, if you had a canopy over you now, we wouldn't probably need to eat a lot of other things that we do. We could just live off of fruit in that matter. Because when the canopy fell, then things changed and it was necessary for the biological processes to work with more than just fruit. And so when we understand that, I think that helps us understand some of what happened. So Adam had a great mind. He was very intelligent. We just have a few indications of it. Like I say, naming the animals. However he did that, that would take a very good mind. So, you know, today what happens, they end up naming him with two or three names because they can't come up with one anymore. And it's funny because some species are named for people who found them because they don't want to try to figure out some other way to name them. It's not just to honor these people. And so, in that matter. Okay, let's see. We got to go to 128 and we'll stop at 6. I can't jump there. I'm sorry. Let's go to 126. And I'm 128. And that will, we'll do some quick summary. In 128 it says, the Lord blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And so this is very clear. There's a responsibility that they were to, and I put a translation in the notes under 5D, be fruitful, multiply. It doesn't say to add. It says multiply. When you have a whole earth to fill, you're going to have to multiply. Just think of what it's going to be like in the millennial kingdom. When everything is perfect and people start to reproduce without having impediments in that matter, then it won't be hard to fill an earth that is one continent again, protected with health. It will be a very substantial population, and there will be enough to cause some problems with Magog and Magog at the end of unbelievers that are produced in that time. And so that will happen again, and this idea of dominion. Well, so you have Adam as a steward, Eve as a household, and the human race participates in that, and that's when I skipped here in Romans 5:12 under 4C, and that is in Adam. We are counted to be in Adam. And I don't know my Greek text. and I would quote it, but I want to look at it while I'm doing it. And it says in 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." All men. We are just as accountable. Don't be so brazen as to say that if I were in Adam's, whatever he wore, if I was there, that it wouldn't have happened to me. We would have all done it. He says, for that all sinned in Adam. It's called Adamic sin guilt. And that's what happened. And so in that, we share in Adam as our forebearer. And next time we'll talk about the test. And then we'll come on, and we'll move pretty quickly as we come through this. But we'll deal with the test and then the activity of the Godhead. And where we've gone on that chart, we have touched a bunch of these. So I'm on page 10, number 6, and we'll...
24.
30.
Page
24. 24. Oh, you're looking for a date?
31st.
You need to review the 31st. 31st. Sorry. We're just calendar challenged.
Oh. Well, I wrote a check today, but I dated it 2 days ago.
I know.
Not that I needed to, but I did anyway. Yeah, okay. So we'll be back here, and we'll be moving along, and bring your chart, and I hope, to be able to give you some more, because we'll be in conference next week. And if you're late, I'll be in the conference.
Do you have to bring a conference next week?
Well, I've been having discussions. Dale and I have been having discussions about conscience and law.